We should probably also mention Sid and Lori are out in Texas. They're going to the Heaven Come Conference, and I think Keith and Linda are there also. A couple of grandbabies had the old stomach bug before they left, so hopefully that doesn't run through the house out there when they're out there. So we'll just pray a hedge of protection around them that they don't get that, because they tend to get those pretty easily sometimes. So I'm sitting at the ball field on Saturday watching a little guy play ball, and I get this text from Sid, and I'm kind of thinking, I bet I know what this is about. And so I didn't open it right away. I kind of stepped off to the side and thought, I kind of feel like he's going to ask me to teach. And so sure enough, I opened the text message, and that's what he asked. So I went back and I prayed, kind of walked a little lap around the field, and I prayed a little bit. And I thought, if he only knew, if he only knew, what my week's been like, or what's happened today, or how many bad thoughts I had about the umpire making that call, or, whatever that might have been, he probably wouldn't be asking me to teach. And I have all this other stuff going on, and so I prayed about it a little bit, and I agreed. Obviously, I'm here, right? So I agreed. And, as I thought more about that statement, if he only knew, I began to think about different things that have happened. And, we all have this past, right? Guys, y'all got a past? We all have this past. I have one, too. Everybody in here has something that's happened. Unfortunately, there are very few people who just grow up in the church and love Jesus all the time and have it great in life, okay? And so I thought about all these different things that have happened, and it's one of those things that, well, Sid knows all that. God knows all that, but they don't really know about my day-to-day or what happens in my little mind. And, we don't always have a choice of those things that happen to us, yet we still go through things. We didn't anticipate a fire. We still go through those things. And, as I thought about that statement, if you only knew, the Lord brought to my mind the woman at the well. And for some of us, that's familiar scripture. I've heard it preached. I've heard it taught. I've read it. And I started going into that, I'm thinking, God used her mightily. He used a woman mightily, okay? And so that obviously piqued my interest, being a female, that piqued my interest in. So as I read into this story a little bit, let me get there. It's in John 4, if you guys want to turn there. I'm sorry, I should have already told you that. John 4. Jeffrey, I still feel like this thing's really hot. Is it just me? Maybe it's not. So this is my condensed version of my notes. So as I dug into to John 4 and the woman at the well, and I'm in the Passion Translation, that the title is A Thirsty Savior. And in the Passion. And so as I dug into this, it made me think, if you only knew. If you guys only knew, not to rehash my story, but, childhood, really good. We went to the lake, we camped, I had a ball glove, I had an Evel Knievel bike, my daddy raced dune buggies, I was in the race car with him. All these different things that we did. And then about age 12, I realized my daddy had a drinking problem. And obviously that wasn't good for the family dynamic. Okay? And so the family separated. And in that, my dad continued to make bad choices, and he ended up going to prison. Okay? So life's not always grand, right? He went to prison, served about 18 months down in Jackson, hard time, okay? But yet, at the same time, he had a really, really good heart of gold. He taught me I used to do oil change. Now I've decided I can go to somewhere quicker and have it done. so much for convenience, right? You know, I learned a lot of good, useful stuff from him. He could fix anything, heart of gold, help anybody, all those good things, okay? Yet there was still this void in me created by that, okay? And it took a long time for me to get past some of that stuff. But we all have that past, and I've always used that as I'm an overcomer. I can do all things through Christ, you know, all those different things. And it's always been one of those things that kind of propelled me, especially once I got saved, really saved. I was baptized at age 19 because I wanted to get married in the church. That was real, real good. Okay, it really stuck because that was my reasoning. I did love Jesus. Don't let me back up a bit. I did love Jesus, but to get married in this church, I had to be a member. To be a member, I had to be baptized. Okay, so I did it. Okay, we've all done those stupid things in the But I did it. What's stupid saying yes to the Lord? Let me back up. That's not stupid. But anyway, I did this and, you know, went on, got married, 3 kids, 15 years. Then all of a sudden, bam, we didn't know how to do it without Jesus. And we were heading in the same direction my parents did. And luckily, I had this lady who was around me at the time. I was coaching her 2 daughters. And there was something different. And she invited me to church, and I came, and that same day I came, there was a picture of a baby up here that weighed 18 ounces on the screen. And I learned who Robin and Haven were. And she weighed 18 ounces, not given much chance, but God. And that really impacted my early walk. Okay, so all these things are happening in my past. So if you only knew, right, if you only knew. And in knowing those things, I said yes to the Lord, you know, and then things just kind of took off from there. So let me get to the woman at the well. Let me read a little bit of scripture so you feel like you've been at church. All right. So soon the news reached the Jewish leaders known as the Pharisees. I'm in verse is this? 1. And I'm reading out of the Passion Translation. Jesus heard what was being said and abruptly left Judea, returned to the province of Galilee, and he passed through Samaria territory. I'm going to skip down a little bit. It says, Jesus sat by a well, and as soon a Samaritan woman came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink of water." Surprised, she said, "Why would a Jewish man ask a Samaritan woman for a drink of water?" Jesus replied, "If you only knew who I am and the gift of God wants to give you, you'd ask me for a drink, and I would give to you living water." If you only knew. See, if I only knew who Jesus was, right, I was thinking negatively. See, if you only knew, you wouldn't ask me. But here's Jesus saying, if you only knew, you would ask me for a drink. So that phrase kind of jumped out at me. And it says, "But sir, you don't have a bucket, and this well is very deep. So where do you find this living water? Do you really think that you are greater than our ancestor Jacob who dug this well? If you drink from Jacob's well, you'll be thirsty again. But if anyone drinks my living water I give them, they will never thirst again and will forever be satisfied. For when you drink the water I give you, it becomes a gushing fountain of the Holy Spirit, springing up and flooding with endless life." So when we drink from Him, if we drink from Him, then all of a sudden I get this living water in me, right? We all know. We understand that. We get that. That's not a hard concept for most of us in here. We get that. And when our heart becomes free, man, we become undone. We become undone when our heart becomes free. And so, you know, all of you guys are in different processes and different places in your time at Blake House, but let me just tell you, when your heart becomes free, you'll become undone. And undone in the Lord is a good place. It's a sweet spot. It's a good place to be. And let me finish this up real quick. "But the woman replied, 'Let me drink the water so that I'll never be thirsty again, and I won't have to come back here to draw water.'" You see, this lady was going at noontime because she was not considered worthy to go draw water in the morning and the evening when they went. And she had a past, if you only knew. Well, most people did know her stuff. Okay, most people did know. And so she had to go draw water at noon. She was there, and guess who was waiting on her? Jesus. And when Jesus found me, I was probably somewhere I wasn't supposed to be. I was not doing the right thing. Yet He found me anyway. And when he found her, she started, you know, let me drink that water. And what she said, let me drink this water because I want my life to be easier. If you'll let me drink this living water, my life will get easier. And that's what we think. Just give me Jesus or just give me this living water and it'll be easier. Is it easier? Is it easier? We want that Staples easy button, don't we? Bam, I'm going to get easy. Jesus didn't promise us easy, but he promised he'd be with us. And that's what, you know, she didn't understand this concept at the time. She didn't understand it. So Jesus, trying to make her understand, he says, well, go get your husband. Uh-oh. If you only knew. He did know. Right? He did know. What, does she have five husbands? And a boyfriend too? That's the thing. When Sid called me, he knew most of the stuff about me already. And Jesus certainly knew. So I didn't have to try to fool anybody because they already knew. They already knew. So many years ago, Jesus saw me standing here tonight. And he knew everything I was going to do. He's gonna know. He knows everything I'm going to do tonight or tomorrow. Yet he still calls me. He still chose to sit by my well and offer me that living water. I'm not worthy of that, yet he makes me worthy. Okay? So what does she do? She said, you've been married five times. Well, she, like most of us good women can do, we want to change that subject, right? We want to change the subject. Well, you must be a prophet. Let's not talk about me now. Let's talk about you. You must be a prophet. We're masters of that. Somebody starts calling us out on stuff, we want to change the direction of the conversation. And that's exactly what she was doing. Let me change this. Let me ask you about this being a prophet. And Jesus says, dear woman, the time has come when you won't worship the Father on the mountain nor in Jerusalem, but in your heart. You people don't really know the one they worship. We Jews worship out of our experience, it's from the Jews that salvation is made available. From here on, worshiping the Father will not be a matter of the right place, but with the right heart. For God is a spirit, and he longs to have sincere worshipers who worship and who adore him in the realm of the spirit and in the truth. So she changes the subject, and Jesus is like, look, don't pull this religious card on me. Right? Don't tell me I'm a prophet. Don't pull the religious card on me. I need your heart. And that's what he's asking all of us. Where's your heart? I need your heart. I don't need you to worship. I need you to be a worshiper. Big difference. Okay? I can worship, yet my heart not be in. Anybody ever done that? Nobody wants to admit it. Everybody's sitting on their hands right now. Right? I've done it. I've come in here, sadly. You know, I was going through emotions, but necessarily my heart wasn't in it. Or maybe I didn't believe what I was singing. Maybe I didn't believe what I was hearing because I thought, man. Or maybe it's like, man, Sid has read my mail today. And so can I just hide? So as she changes the subject and he says, look, I need your heart. I need you to worship. I'm a spirit. You can take me wherever you go. It doesn't matter where you are. I'm with you. Here's where I really want to kind of camp a little bit tonight. And the woman was still confused. She didn't know the anointed one was coming, the true Messiah. And when he comes, he will tell us everything we need to know. This is her talking. Jesus said to her, you don't have to wait any longer. The anointed one is here speaking with you. I am the one you're looking for. Wow. I am the one you're looking for. She wasn't even looking for him, and she found him. That was me. I wasn't looking for him, and he found me. Thank you. So, at this moment, the disciples returned. Jesus was about to be discovered talking to somebody he wasn't supposed to talk to. She was mixed race, a woman, in public, and he wasn't supposed to be talking to her. So, the disciples show up and they're like, ooh, but they didn't dare say anything. You don't want to question Jesus, right? So, they didn't say anything, and about that same time, the lady jumps up. This is my favorite part. She jumps up and she runs to tell everybody else what happened. Now, here she is, right? The lady that probably could pin a lot of scarlet letters on her, right? You know what scarlet letters are? They tell people what she did wrong. She had all this stuff pinned on her, all this stuff weighing her down. And now all of a sudden she's met this guy, the anointed one, the I Am, and she runs back to her town where probably she had been gossiped about, talked about, and yet she couldn't wait to tell him about Jesus, what he had done. And the real miracle is they listened. So obviously there was something different about her, right? I can tell you when I got saved, something was different about me. Something was different. I can tell you that I'm a coach. For most of you, some of you guys may not know that, but I'm a coach. And I coached 15 years prior to Jesus. And then I've coached 13, 14 years with Jesus. And my pre-Jesus or before Christ experience with those players, they'll tell you, ooh, Coach Phillips was rough. She left marks. Okay? She didn't play. And I'm still pretty tough, but now I can at least say it like I love them. And so, some players will see me, put my arm around people and former players, and they'll see me put my arm around the girls, and they're like, man, all we got was a swift kick in the butt. That wasn't, you didn't do that with us. So, me, after Jesus, is a lot more noticeable. So, she goes back, and obviously she's different. She's more noticeable. These people actually listen to her. She says, look, I met this guy. He told me everything I did. He knew it all. I don't know if you knew, but he knew it all. Y'all need to come see him. And the miracle is, they listened and came. You know what she did? It's called a testimony. She testified to his goodness. Sid's been asking us in here the last few weeks, do we have a story worth telling? She had a story worth telling. It didn't matter she had five husbands and a boyfriend that people talked about her. All she knew is I had to go tell these people they got to get what I got. Do I want to tell people to get what I got? So, That was the miracle that they actually came. All right, so I'm gonna tell you this story real quick. When I first got saved, it was 15 years ago this Saturday or Sunday, whenever the 3rd is, June 3rd, 2003 is when I got saved in this house in a snot mess right over here. Okay, and it was one of those. I mean, it was electric, right? And when that happened to me, I wanted people to know that something was different. And really, people could tell. They could see it on me that something was different. But as things progressed, I don't know what happens to us sometimes. And maybe some of you people, there's a lot of people in here that I look to as mentors. But, I used to go to Linda Carter's house. And I don't know if Linda still has it, but she had a Bible study on Monday nights. And I would go up there and still has it, still doing it. That was some of the earliest feedings I got as a young Christian. Was to go into her house and sit in Bible study with Ida's and Alicia's and Carolyn's and some of these other ladies that were in there, Monday night after Monday night. And I was fed Beth Moore stuff. That's usually what we did, was Beth Moore and all these, people of great faith. And so a few years ago, the Lord began to prompt me to start a Bible study at Carrollton High School with a bunch of teachers before school started. I was like, I ain't doing it. I ain't doing it. And so next year rolled around, Lisa, he didn't quite say it this nicely. He said, but I asked you to do this. I'm like, okay, I'll send out an email and see how many come. Well, that first day we had like 27 teachers show up. Okay? And we started our Bible study. And, of course, as the school years happen, it's just kind of like life in general. For those of you not in school, there's always a meeting here or something to do there. So they don't always all get to come anymore. But I've been faithful. We meet every Thursday morning, and we have anywhere from 5 to 12 teachers that come in this place on Thursday mornings to meet with Jesus. And And I'm going to tell you something, guys. Wherever you are, you need those people around you. Because when I first got saved and went through some hardships, I could go hide in Linda Carter's office and cry at school. And she would pray with me. So I had that at work. I can come in here and snot cry and people pray with me. Deborah White has been faithful to me so many times. Let me cry and pray over me. And, you know, as I started this Bible study, I saw the impact it was having. And all that is a testimony. It's a testimony to His goodness. It's not about me. It's finally about me saying yes to Him so He can do some work that He wants to do. And He can use me. And I try to disqualify myself because if you only knew. And yet He says, I know. I know. Go tell them. I know you've had five husbands. Go tell them. Let them decide. And guys, when we meet that Savior, there's no denying it. And so these ladies have come week in and week out. And then this year, just this year, He's had me start some emails and stuff that I send out to about 70, 75 ladies. And through that, I can still see growth. Now, this is not about me. Please, I'm just trying to give you a little background here. It's not about me and what I'm doing. This is about what Jesus is doing through me. Okay? And He can use any of us. We just have to be available. And I fought that being available to Him for so long. But I want to tell you about you guys right here. Okay? Let me tell you something. Right now, it's not easy in the Blake house. Okay? Remember, I had a daddy that was an alcoholic. It's not easy being in the Blake house. It wasn't easy for me to go see him in prison. Okay? It's not easy. I understand that. But I'm going to tell you how you overcome this. One, you're getting yourself clean. You're getting yourself right with the Lord, hopefully. Okay? That's the first steps. Then, you're going to go back out to the real world. And you know how you're going to overcome? You've got the blood. You're going to overcome by the power of your testimony. That's how you're going to overcome. That's what Revelation 12:11 says. We overcome by the power of the blood and the word of our testimony. And if you don't know what yours is, spend some time figuring it out. You just heard a brief version of mine. It's not all glorious. It involves poor choices, some on my part, some on other people. But it's a testimony. And without that, you're not going to be able to beat what's out here. Unless you have His blood and your testimony. And your testimony needs to be of His faithfulness and His goodness. It shouldn't be about, oh, me and old Buddy Roe went down there last night and we did that. No. It's got to be me and Jesus. Jesus brought me through this. Jesus showed me the way. Jesus was faithful here. He can redeem, restore. And it's your job, it's our job to tell Him. So, to remind ourselves. You met me here at the Blake House, Lord. Just because I'm out here on this street doesn't mean you're not here anymore. Remember, it says we need worshipers. Doesn't matter where we are. He needs your heart. He needs your heart. And He needs a heart pointed to Him, on fire for Him. And then all this other stuff, as it comes, you can think, Lord, I remember that day. That crazy woman told me I needed testimony. And I'm bringing that back right now. I'm showing you that testimony. And I'm going to tell you about the power of a testimony in my life, okay? This is recent. Okay, this is how good God is. I'm sorry, I don't mean to ignore y'all over here, but I was just talking to them a second. Here's the thing about if you only knew. If you only knew, sometimes we try to carry too much. We carry the weight. We carry too much. Things we're not meant to carry. And when we're carrying stuff we're not meant to carry, all of a sudden we can become meaningless. And I don't want to live a meaningless life. Because all of a sudden I'm starting to strive. I'm starting to put forth too much effort in certain areas trying to make things work. And God said I didn't have to strive. But I got to give it to Him. And so a few months ago, my husband and I were trying to make some decisions on something that's kind of big. And it was a hard spot. My husband had let's do this. And I'm like, I don't know. Let me pray about it. And I knew what we needed to do. But it's kind of one of those things, you know, you kind of want to make sure it lines up. You kind of want to make sure it is God's thing. And so it was really weighing me down. And I'd spent some time in the altar here Wednesday night, and I went to Bible study, and I was still just really, it was hard. It was just a hard spot. Some of you guys may have been there. You're just praying for something. You need some breakthrough. You need some answers. It's just a hard spot. And so I went in. I was going to do my Bible study, and I tried my best to fake it. You guys ever did that? I tried my best to hide. If you only knew. I want to hide it. If you only knew, I would just want to hide it. And it was such a safe place that I've created with these, or not I've created, but the Lord's come in and created in these ladies. And it was kind of like it was that inner circle. I don't want to say, I hope nobody's listening to the, I'm sorry, everybody's included. But, you know, hey, even Jesus had that inner circle of Peter, James, and John that he just really relied on right there, you know. And it was just those ladies, just four or five of those ladies in there. And basically, I just kind of bared my soul. I was like, you know, here's what's going on. I don't know what to do. I just need you guys to pray. And I'm a crier. I'm probably going to cry before I finish this, but it's just a... It was just a hard spot, and I needed some relief. And just saying it out loud to them brought some relief. And it's kind of like you get the light on it. You kind of let people in. You make yourself vulnerable, and you become transparent. It's amazing what God can do. It's amazing what He can do. And so I opened this up, and, of course, the bell rang, and we had to go to class, and I'm snot crying, you know, trying to get myself together before my kids come in. And so I felt a little bit better. But, you know, as anything else, it's going to come right back at you. It's going to come right back at you. And so I come in here Sunday morning, and, you know, I'm, of course, I've talked to Lori about it a time or two, and come in here Sunday morning in the altar really crying, really, really just needing that breakthrough. I need a release. And I don't feel it yet. Come to life group that night. And our life group's kind of a mixed bag of folks, you know, and sorry, Randy. But it's kind of a mixed bag, you know. We've got some younger, we got some experienced veterans, and, you know, we just got some new people. And anyway, we're trying to go through Louis Giglio. Louis, I apologize. We're trying to get through his study. And once again, it's just like, oh, God, here it comes again. And I feel like such a weak person at this point. I shouldn't be this needy, right? But my breakthrough ain't coming. I'm with my people. You know, you guys know, yeah, you're with your people, right? You're with your people. If you don't have some people, get you some people. I'm not talking about the ones you've been hanging out with. I'm talking about some good, Jesus-loving people, right? Get you some Jesus-loving people. So I'm in this group. So there again, I'm starting sharing. And then I get this old cynical guy. He's cynical. You can tell him that carpet's brown with a spot, and he's going, oh, man, it ain't really got a spot in it, does it? He's just cynical, right? But yet, he spoke such life into me in that moment. Okay? He had what I needed, part of what I needed. Another lady spoke life. Randy had, they shared something with me, and all of a sudden where that ceiling was kind of suffocating. Any guys ever feel like you're suffocating? Like you're just, that weight's just, you know, like your knees are going to buckle and just it's going to collapse on you? That's how I felt. But all of a sudden, in them saying things, I felt like there's some, like a rocks had been thrown and it was starting to spider. Hey, windshield gets and they throw a rock at it sometimes, or a rock hits it. So it started to fray a little bit. And so I felt a little bit better. You know, I'd snot cried again and felt a little bit better. So we're getting ready to leave. And I promise I'm going somewhere with this, okay? The testimony. The sweetest, kindest person in our life group. Sorry again, Randy. Goes out to her car and comes back in, and she said, I don't know why I'm doing this because I've never shared this with anybody, but I want you to have my testimony. I'm like, okay. Because you guys know sometimes we loan people our testimony, sometimes we borrow theirs, right? I've loaned my testimony probably more times than I've needed to. But tonight, I'm borrowing somebody else's faith. I'm borrowing their testimony. And I read what she had written. And guys, I'm here to tell you, the power of that dang testimony broke what was on me. And all of a sudden, I was free. My heart was free. My shame undone. That's a song, isn't it? Okay? And I'm telling you guys, it was like something lifted off me because there is power in a testimony. You guys need a testimony. And part of that, we need a testimony. You know? What God did 15 years ago is still a powerful testimony. But you better get some fresh stuff too. Because it's from point, it's got to be ongoing. I can share stuff from, you know, what that happened when I was a kid, and there's power in that. But I need to have what God's doing today. What's my story today with God? What have I done today with Him? What's He doing in me today? And I better have some of that stuff in my pocket so I can share it. That's how you're going to overcome the Lord. Overcome the Lord. Overcome the enemy. Sorry, not the Lord. He's the overcomer. So, here's the thing. Those testimonies He shares, that we share, can go into places that John 3:16 doesn't always go into. John 3:16 is important. But you know what? When I see Lisa come through something, it might give you hope. When you see me overcome stuff, it gives you hope. When I see you overcome stuff, it gives me hope. So we borrow, give and take this faith through our testimony. So, you know, man, I never thought I'd talk this long tonight. So here, this lady at the well, you know, I told you I didn't want my life to be meaningless, right? I'm a former, any former athletes in here? Has-beens? Yeah, has-beens? Yeah, a bunch of us. I'm one too. I'm one of those. So, you know, I can go back and tell you about the glory days, but nobody wants to hear about all that. Okay? And I'd much rather talk to you now about Jesus. Those glory days have given me some platforms that I can speak into now. That's the good thing about those glory days, is it can be, I was once here, but now I'm here. I once could shoot the three, but let me tell you about my Jesus. So those platforms can give me some leeway into some lives. But as I think about how confident I was as a player, when I stepped into the arena, or onto the floor, onto the field, I knew there wasn't anybody better than me. And I'm not saying there weren't people out there better than me, but I'm going to tell you, I didn't think so. I didn't think so. I could outshoot you. If I couldn't outshoot you, I could trip you. Right? I wasn't always saved, guys. Okay? And if I couldn't outhit you, I'd hit you with a ball. There's always ways, right? Okay? So I knew in that field how confident I was. And now I've shrunk back at times from being confident, not in this thing, because this thing I don't need. This microphone, I'm not called to be a preacher and have a church and all that stuff, but I am called to preach, right? We all are. Okay, you guys, you're called to preach. I don't know if you've known that. You're called to preach. That's your testimony. You're getting this, right? Your testimony. You're getting it. Okay, sorry. So we're all called to have that. And so what God's telling me is that my confidence doesn't come in me. It comes from Him. Just like He told her, I am the one. He is the one we need. Okay? He is the one. And as this thing's kind of getting in my way. I keep stepping on it. So this lady had this previous life. Okay? Five husbands. Hopefully nobody's been in here married that many times, but never know. Five husbands, now working on the sixth one, it sounds like, right? Gossiped about. Can you imagine the women talking about her? Now, I know they were little church religious people. They probably weren't, you know they were talking, right? They were talking about her. They wouldn't even look at her when she walked down the street. Yet, all of a sudden, her confidence was no longer in her. She probably didn't even have any confidence in herself, honestly. But now, all of a sudden, woohoo, let me go tell him about my Jesus. What that confidence? All of a sudden, what was once lost is now found in Him. And when it's found in Him, bam, we got something. So, guys, where did your confidence come from? So these ladies in my Bible study, sometimes they obviously think I'm the weird one. Do y'all think I'm weird? Don't answer that. I'm weird because I love Jesus, and sometimes that's sometimes seem weird, I guess. But these ladies are in my Bible study, and they keep coming back. You know, they keep saying, "Hey, make sure I'm on your email list." Okay, you know, but it's not me they're drawn to. It's my confidence in Him. It's my confidence in I Am. It's not me. Because I have a rough side. Y'all just heard that I would trip people and hit people, and I'm still pretty fierce. So, it's not me, it's Him. It's Him in me. And so, when we share our testimony, we loan our faith to other people. And here's the thing, guys. She went and shared her faith with other people. And the miracle is they came. And then what happened? When they come, what happened? Others came. And now the next part of Scripture talks about, Lord, the harvest. The harvest. He's like, disciples, y'all didn't do nothing. Y'all didn't do anything. I did that. That's me. Y'all just need to go finish the job. And that's what we're to do. We're to finish that job. And we do that through our testimony. She went back and told him. He knew everything I did. And He still gave me His living water. He knows everything you guys have done. And He's still calling you. He's calling you. You can think this is all about you. You being at Blake House is not about you. It's about Him. It's about Him. And it's the seed you're going to plant. And it's the people you're going to go tell about your experience. You can go say, "Oh, I was in the Blake House, man. That stuff's rough." He said, "Man, Jesus took me to the Blake House. I got there because Jesus loved me that much. And now I have a testimony to share because Jesus took me there. I got cleaned up. And now I can tell them about Him." Will everybody receive it? Probably not. That's okay. Keep talking. Keep being different. Be the weird one. Be the weird one. It's not all bad. Here's the thing I know. I am not, but I know I am. That's the title of a book. I just saw it the other day. I'm going to buy it. I am not, but I know I am. I am not, but I know I am. And you know what? That makes me enough. That makes me enough. I'm going to share one more story with you. Good Friday. I'm going through the Chick-fil-A drive-through line for the fifth time that week, buying breakfast for my little boy. Don't judge me. Sorry. But that $3 is better than me getting up and making omelets and eggs and whatever. So, anyway, going through Chick-fil-A drive-through, I'm getting in my change out of my wallet, and I look in my wallet, and I have this penny. It's a wheatback penny. You know what a wheatback penny looks like? If you don't, y'all can Google it, but a wheatback penny. And the thing that was special about this wheatback penny is my daddy always collected them. He collected wheatback pennies. And when he died early. I didn't tell you that part, but he died an early death. And he didn't get to watch his grandkids grow up. Okay? And so he died early. But he always collected these wheatback pennies. And he had a jar, pimento cheese jar. Ugh. But he put them in that. But when I got them, when he died, I put them in something different. So anytime I see this wheatback penny, I always take it and I put it in my jar. Always reminds me of my daddy. Right? I was a daddy's girl. Reminds me of my dad. So I got this one out of my wallet, so I just kind of put it aside while I'm in the Chick-fil-A drive-thru line. Well, I go into school, teach a couple of classes, and I have a planning period, so I'm down My next class is in the gym, so I go down there and I sit in the parking lot, and usually I read, sometimes I take a nap. But I usually try to spend a little time with the Lord before I go in and face these 100 kids, right? We all need prayer for that. And so as I'm sitting there, I look over and I see that penny. And so I'm thinking about it. It's Good Friday. You know, I'm thinking about what the Father did for us on Good Friday. He goes to the cross. He you know, takes on my sin, takes on the grave, you know, all that stuff. And so I'm thinking about how faithful he's been in my life. And I look over and I see this penny. And obviously my thought process goes to my dad. And I start thinking about him. And I think about all those times I described of, you know, from as far as I can remember back to, I said, about 12, Daddy was, he was my favorite guy. Okay, he was my hero. And I spent all my time beside him and my granddaddy. And my mom didn't stand a chance. My mom sitting over here, she didn't stand a chance with any of that because I had everything I needed in those two guys. I could throw horseshoes. I could go to the lake. I could tube. I could ski. I could fish. I could ride the dune buggies, roll, you know, turn upside down, go through mud holes, all that good stuff that little girls love, right? So I look over and I see this penny, and it takes me down that memory lane. And I'm looking at it, and all of a sudden I feel like, all right, flip it over. And my daddy was born in 1946. And so when I flip it over, guess what year the penny was? You're right, 1946. And I thought, man, God, you messing with me. Now I got to go here and do 100 kids. I'm going to snot cry. I'm going to snot cry again. I got 10 minutes. And, you know, as I've shared my testimony, guys, I've always shared the testimony of the mistakes my daddy made. And he made some big ones. And I've always shared that he made those mistakes. But honestly, the Lord challenged me so much in that moment. He said, you were just thinking about all that good stuff that you and your daddy did. You were just talking about all that good stuff. Don't forget to say that too. And it really challenged me because sometimes we can say, man, all this bad stuff's happened. But we got to remember the good stuff too. And he challenged me not to find the dirt as quick as I find the gold. And so often, sometimes I can find the cynical dirt way too quickly. And so my testimony in that, I thought, man, that was such a God kiss for me. And normally I, you know, when I get stuff like that, I'll share it with people, but I held on to that for just a little bit. Then the Lord, I felt him nudge me, and I sent it out in an email to my little group I sent it to. And the response was overwhelming. About broken relationships, about thanks to the reminder. So, guys, I'm saying all this to say there's power in your testimony. Okay? Some of you guys just raised your hand. I'm closing with this, Jeffrey. I promise I'm closing. I'm closing. I say all of that to ask you this question right here. Some of you guys told me you were former athletes. I'm a has-been. But you know one thing I never wanted to be? I never wanted to be a bench warmer. I've coached one kid in 28 years that she was satisfied being a bench warmer. She just wanted to come, sit on a bucket, get snacks, never play in a game, just be part of it. She was okay just being part of it. That was never me. I never wanted to be a bench warmer. It's not who I am. And it's not who we should be. Because I'm going to tell you, we're all playing a game every day. The game of life. You cannot be a bench warmer. You're not afforded the opportunity to be a bench warmer. None of us are. Bench warmers never get to play. Bench warmers get the grunt duty. You get to carry the load. You're meaningless. I'm sorry if some of you guys were bench warmers. I apologize. Not all of us can be as good as me. Confidence. But I never wanted to be a bench warmer. Nothing wrong if that was your role. We all have a role to play. But in my mind, they carried every bucket, the water cooler. Oh, you're not playing, just grab some stuff. And they were okay with that. She was fine. Okay, coach. But we're not meant to carry the burden, and we're certainly not meant to be meaningless. And when you're a bench warmer, you're not getting in the game, you're a bench warmer. And we got enough bench warmers in this world. Spiritually, you know what a bench warmer is? They come to church. They go home. They go to work Monday. Do their job. Hope the wife's got dinner cooked. Husbands take me out somewhere. Not very effective. Not saying they don't have a good life. Not saying they don't, you know, make decent money. But they're not impacting the kingdom. Bench warmers are not impacting the kingdom. And I refuse to be a bench warmer. I want to play. I'm a gamer. I don't always have the answer, but I know I am. I don't always know where to go, what to do, but I know He does. So my question is, what do you want to be? I want to be a gamer. I want to be a gamer. I want to have an impact. I want to inspire. I want to influence. I want to draw people to Him through my life. And it's scary to say that out loud. For a lot of years, that was scary to me. Because the Lord had to deliver me from a performance mindset. I told y'all I was good. And I meant that. I was. I still hold national records. I still have a jersey retired. I was good. Right? They don't just retire anybody's jersey. They don't retire the bench warmer's jersey. And that, again, I'm not boasting in me. I'm just telling you, I was good. I wasn't built to be mediocre. I wasn't built for that. But spiritually, I've been that way. I've been that way. But all of a sudden, my word in 2018 was presence. And I'm going to tell you something. When you seek His presence, things begin to change. You can't be a bench warmer if you're seeking His presence. You can't pour into His life if you're a bench warmer. You can't receive it if you're a bench warmer. Bench warmers don't want to be told anything. They're having this big debate on Michael Jordan and LeBron James, which one's the GOAT. LeBron James is bad. He's good. But the argument is that Michael Jordan was the GOAT because he made those around him better. Are you making people around you better? Are you drawing people to Him through you? That's the message. We all want to be the GOAT. But LeBron James didn't wake up one day and be the GOAT. Make those people around you better. How can you pour into their life? How can you show them kingdom? How can you be the peace in the storm? How can you be the hope in the miry clay? How can you show the way to what they need? They don't need you. They need I am. So I had to be delivered from that performance mindset. And I'm sad to say that it took a long time because when the Lord moved, I kind of confused it. Oh, this is part of my testimony. Let me run and tell Randy what I did. That was good. And I'm sure Randy was like, oh, that's awesome. That's good. But it was about me. It wasn't about him. It was about him, but I was trying to make it about me. Let me rephrase that. It was about him. He can use me in my stupidity. So guys, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the power of our testimony. We overcome by getting in the game. And nobody ever scored a point from the bench. You miss 100% of the shots you don't take. I used to love that one because I love to shoot. You miss 100% of the shots you don't take. So the question is, do we want to be a bench warmer or do we want to be a gamer? I'm going to tell you something. Whether you're a bench warmer or whether you're a gamer, life's coming. Life's coming. Whether you're a bench warmer, whether you're a gamer, life's going to come. Has it come to y'all? Absolutely. It's come to me. So we can either be the gamer and saying, bring it on, buddy. I tell my girls all the time, I don't care if she's throwing at 62. Tell her to shut up and pitch it and let's hit it. And I have mellowed. I don't care how hard they hit it. Field it. I don't care if you got hit. Shut up. It'll grow back. When it stops hurting, it won't hurt anymore. Game's coming. Game. Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready? The game's coming. Are you going to be a bench warmer? Life don't need any more bench warmers. We got a lost and dying world that needs you to be in the game. Some of you guys got a lot of work to do repairing your families, repairing relationships, making amends. And you can't, but He can. He can bring the game to it. So get off the bench and decide. I think I'm done. Jeffrey, if you want to start some music here, I'm going to... Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry. I just talked the whole time. Go ahead, Rob.
One thing that keeps jumping out at me is, and last week when Graham was preaching, but she immediately went out to tell. So one of the tools the enemy will use is shame to keep us heavy, to keep us burdened. And the Word says that God, when we accept Him, He clothes us in righteousness, in robes of righteousness. So if you feel heavy, if you feel burdened with shame, that's not God. So just break that off, to allow Him to break that off of you. God does not shame you into being right or doing right. He takes that weight off of you and clothes you in His righteousness. So before you can go out and share your testimony, you may just need to be, you know, Lord, help me break this shame off of me, you know, to be clothed in righteousness, to know that I'm forgiven and receive His forgiveness. That's one thing that He'll use, is that shame to keep you from opening your mouth and sharing your testimony. And other people may try to shame you, but that is not God. So don't receive shame from other people.
That's good. When we open our heart and we say, pour your love inside, that freedom we can exponentially experience. It's like that water hits us and all of a sudden we're awakened to something different. And the world will try to come back and put that shame on you. So guys, we're going to pray. Dear Father, I just thank You for this time tonight, Father. I thank You, Father, that we can have such a vivid example of a woman at the well, Father God, that we just hope You don't find us out, Father, sometimes. We hope that you know, if You only knew, Father, but You know all things. And Father, I'm just so thankful that You dug into my miry clay of a mess so many years ago, Father, and just picked me out of that. And Father, I just pray, Father, that as we continue, that You will show us what the power of our testimony is, and that we would have a freedom in You that we've never experienced before, Father, that shame would be undone, Father. There'd just be a freedom to be who we are in You, Father God. Not because we're anything special, Father God, but because You are. You are all things we need, Father. And we just thank You for Your provision. We thank You for Your standard that You set for us, Father. And I just pray, Father, that we just take the game You've put in us to the world, and that we just reach the lost and dying, Father. That our life would just be an example of what You can do in a vessel. We love You, and we thank You. Amen. If you need to come.